is brought to you twice each day through the generous financial contributions of public radio listeners in the Fairbanks area. This is KUAC-FM in Fairbanks. The time is 7:30.
Inupiat unipkangich tikiramin. The things that were said of them. Eskimo stories from Point Hope, Alaska. The whole phrase, the things that were said of them, is only one word in Inupiaq, Unipkat, and it could also be translated as the things that were left behind. Unipkat are ancient stories or legends, and the story of Alingnak is one of the oldest. It's about how the moon, Tatqiq, and the sun, Siqinyiq, acquired their spirits. Una unipkak Alingnak utuqqanik tat unipkat ilagigat. Kanok siqinyiqumlu tatqimlu aw laqisaqaningakkun unipkaguruq. When you hear this story, it is important to remember that in the Arctic, the sun and the moon are seldom seen in the sky together. The sun is never seen for 2.5 months during the winter, and it is continuously above the horizon for 2.5 months of the summer. Ukiruromi siqinyiq qinyirinaitchuq talinngasuuruq asi upinrami qinyirinaruuruq ataramik talilaitchuq. The story of Alingnak involves incest and horrible revenge. It would not be told to children. Men would hear it in the community house they belonged to, and it would be told to adults of either sex at winter hunting camps after the children were asleep. Now, Asatchak Jimikiligvak tells it and Tom Lowenstein translates.
I'm going to tell the story about Alingnak, the man who became the spirit of the moon. Anir Soyak wanted to hear this one. Alingnak was a man, and he lived at Tikiraq. He had no wife. He had a younger sister, and the sister didn't have a husband. The man's name is Alingnak. And when Alingnak came home from hunting, he would go to his qalgi, his ceremonial house. And sometimes, when Alingnak's sister was alone in their igloo, she saw the seal oil lamps go out. Alingnak's sister couldn't understand why the lamps went out. And Alingnak's sister didn't have a husband. Now when the lamps went out, she found that a man was coming to her. And in the darkness, this man would make love to her. When the lamps went out, a man came into the igloo and made love to her. And when she knew this man in the dark was coming to her in the evenings, when she knew what was happening, Alingnak's sister made some preparations. She went to the qulliq, the seal oil lamp. She dipped her fingers in the bottom of the qulliq, and there's always soot there and burnt seal oil. She was ready for him now, so that when this man was lying on top of her, she could brush her fingers with the lamp oil on his forehead. And this is what she did as he made love to her. When he next came to her in the darkness, she brushed his forehead with oil from her fingers. And the next evening, when Alingnak was at the Kalgi, Alingnak's sister left the igloo in search of the man whose forehead had the lamp oil mark on it. She went out to find that man among the Kalgis, the ceremonial houses. Now Alingnak spent the evenings in his Kalgi. I don't know which of the Kalgis he belonged to. There were six Kalgis in Tikirak: Kalgirak, Sogvik, Kangilepak, Karmaktok, and Ungasiksikak. I can't remember the name of the sixth. And Alingnak always spent his evenings in the Kalgi. And Alingnak's sister went round all the Kalgis. Silently she walked to the Kalgi skylight and lifted the corner of the membrane window and looked down through the skylight. She was looking for the man whose forehead she had darkened. And when she lifted the edge of the Kalgi skylight, she saw the men sitting there, the male members of the Kalgi. When she glanced around inside, she saw Alingnak, her brother, and it was her brother who had lamp oil on his forehead. She discovered by herself it was her brother who'd made love to her. She'd found out without asking it was he who had taken her. Her older brother had done this. It was he who had humiliated his own sister. Irok. She went back to the igloo. She now knew it was Alingnak who'd come to her. She went home, and she anaked, defecated, and she urinated in her kurvik, her chamber pot. And she took her ulu, woman's knife, and she cut her breasts off. And when she'd cut her breasts off, she chopped them up and dropped the pieces in the kurvik and stirred them in with her blood and her excrement. When she'd done this, she picked up the kurvik, the pot, and returned to the Kalgi where her brother was sitting. And she went in. She went in. Alingnak was there, sitting with the members of the Kalgi. And she'd come in through the katak, the entrance hole, with her kurvik, and went towards her brother, and she offered him the kurvik. She put the pot on the floor, where Alingnak was sitting. And she said to her brother, "Since you love me so much, here, take my breasts, my blood, my excrement, and urine. Eat." Alingnak was silent. He said nothing. Silently, he gathered his work tools and stood up. when he'd stood up, he started to walk around the seal oil lamp the way the sun goes. He walked in the direction that the sun moves. And his younger sister picked up her kurvik, and she followed him. And she said to him, "Since you love me so much, here, take my breasts, my blood, my excrement and urine. Eat." Alingnok continued walking. He avoided his sister and her kurvik. Alingnok's sister followed in a circle around the oil lamp. And as they circled the lamp, when Alingnok was underneath the skylight, he started to rise from the floor through the skylight, and his sister followed. She started to rise after him, still carrying her kurvik, and repeating what she'd spoken to him. He would not eat. And she followed him and left the khali through the skylight. And when they reached the air, still circling, Alingnok called to her, "Ki, listen, I'm a man and you are a woman. You don't go hunting. You don't hunt in the winter. You go to the sun. I am a hunter. I will go to the moon. You go to the sun. I will go to the moon." So Alingnok's sister goes to the sun, and Alingnok himself goes to the moon. That is why the sun's red in the morning when it rises, why it's red when it's setting. It's the blood from her breasts, from Alingnok's sister, when she cut off her breasts and took them to her brother in the Khalki. That's how it is. It's the blood from the breasts of Alingnok's sister. Alingnok went to the moon. He became Tatkeminyor, the owner spirit of the moon. Tavra. That's the story. When I started working with Isichok, this was one of the only stories I knew that I could actually request. Since the Alingnok myth is current over the entire Inupiaq, Eskimo, Arctic, I naturally assumed that it was told in Tikirak also. Hearing the story in the context of the village was nonetheless a revelation to me. It was New Year 1976. On clear nights, the moon was small and cold over the village, and the light in the mornings without sunrise had a fantastic powdery blue texture. Around noon each day, I used to walk over to Isichok's cabin to check on his stove, which was giving him trouble. "You see Sikinyak, the sun, yet?" Isichok asked me one day, during the second week of the year, I think. In my naivete, I hadn't been watching for the sun's reappearance, so out I went that afternoon across the village, and there at the base of the far cliffs was an orange bloody line, the sun's upper edge, flat on the southeastern sea ice horizon. During that week, Isichok told the story of Alingnok. And the revelation to me lay in this. Here was the old storyteller, and the story, and the village, and the high moon at night, and the blood orange sun's edge. and all the connections between them were local and intimate. Earth and sky formed a single and continuous space within whose area kinship and communication seemed logical and part of the given order. So it's a feeling of the unity of these worlds, land, sea, moon, and sun, I should like to emphasize here. But there's an element in that closeness which is oppressive. Many of you, I'm sure, will have found the myth upsetting, as I do still. As you'll see from later stories in this series, there is frequently an element of struggle between men and women. But in the conflict, there's seldom a true victor. The result seems more often to consist of a shared partnership of energies. As in the heaven, there is an uneven, seesawing balance. Alingnok becomes Tatkeminyur, the moon spirit, and his sister Sekinyam Inyur, the sun spirit. And their struggle continues. On the one hand, the moon pursuing the sun's course through the heavens without ever catching up with her, except during eclipses, when there are earthquakes of Tikirok, that this repetition of the primal catastrophe. On the other hand, the power and influence of sun and moon distributed, each with its dominant period, in that high contrast of seasonal Arctic light and darkness. The hunter moon in motion from fall to springtime, the sun rendering Alingnak's sphere invisible all summer. "What are the stars?" I asked Asichok one night as I was asking him questions about this story. "Villages like Tikirok, maybe," he replied. And the whole system moved simply light years closer to me.
Inupiat unipkangich tikiramin, the things that were said of them. Eskimo Stories from Point Hope, Alaska is produced by Karen Michelle McPherson with technical assistance by Phil Falkowski. Funds were provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I'm Edna Aviak McLean. Una inyupayad sila kwaotat sa vakatigik lutik. This is the Public Radio Cooperative.